And now, our feature presentation.
The best in the world is right here, right now.
Whether you like it or don't like it, pal, learn to love it. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome. All right, listen up.
Now it's our time to step forward. It's time to bring the NWA back into the spotlight.
I was thinking that it might be a good idea if you and I formed an alliance.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Attention, everyone. Welcome to the greatest wrestling program in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen.
It's the Alliance Guys podcast with your hosts Kevin Frazier, DKM, and J-Cap.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alliance Guys podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com, your number one source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. With me is DK. There's no Kevin Frazier tonight. He's on special assignment. DK, do you know what Kevin's doing? Do you want to talk about it?
I understand that Kevin's on the same special assignment that Tim Storm was on.
There you go.
So once we find out what Tim Storm was doing, we'll find out what Kevin's doing.
You know, you Texans are so mysterious. So mysterious with your assignments. This is a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. Again, your number one source for news and information. I do want to bring up real quick that I want to give out a special thanks to everyone who's purchased the ham sandwich t-shirt. I want you guys to know that we've already raised just about $60 to donate to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Fund, and I'm very, very proud of all of you guys who have helped us out with that. I do appreciate it. As the months come by, we will have links if you'd like to contribute financially without buying a shirt. Again, these limited edition t-shirts will be they'll be off sale in actually 2 days. They'll no longer be available. They'll be going into the Walt Disney Vault, if you will. They'll no longer be available for purchase. So if you would still like to acquire one of these awesome t-shirts, again, make sure you go to alliance-wrestling.com and check the merch store, and that's where you can get that at. But let's not stand on ceremony, Mr. DKM. First of all, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, if I were doing any better, you wouldn't believe me.
Well, there it is. I'm doing quite well myself. It's been a very very interesting few days because Devin and myself have been discussing offline what we thought of this episode of NWA Power. And, well, interestingly enough, we're kind of split on this episode. Now, DKM... DKM wasn't very happy with this episode. He thought, well, we'll get to what DK thought. I thought it was definitely a step in the right direction and one of the better episodes I've had recently. So without standing on ceremony, let's talk about it, right? The show kicks off. This is episode 31 of NWA Power, presented on Fight. That airs 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Fight. Again, you have to subscribe for that. It's $4.99 a month. The first thing we get to is it's a kind of a recap, an abridged version of the coronation ceremony for Camille. Now, as much as I like Camille, and as much as I think she's getting better each week, not only on promos but in-ring ability, I didn't need this. I thought this was a complete waste of time. And even though it was an abridged version, you know, a minute and 36 seconds, I feel like, again, this was just a waste. They didn't tie it into the storyline. They didn't tie it into any of the matches. DK, I already know what you're going to say, but what were your thoughts on this?
Isn't this how they ended last week?
Am I watching the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean that was my thought. It's like, wait a minute. Are they playing the wrong thing? Are they playing the... Because they didn't even do the normal introduction before. They started with this. And so... And there's no story to it. I mean, yes, Melina comes out, and yes, Genocide comes out, but there's not, you know, like a breakdown tear apart brawl or anything. There's, or even a big knock you out moment. It's just, okay, I guess Melina and Genocide are going to feud. I don't know. I mean, they didn't do anything to hype me for it.
Well, and the puzzling thing is, when Genocide came in there, yes, she ragdolled Melina. She just picked her up like a baby and kind of tossed her. But then there was no confrontation. There was no dive right back at it. There was no, you know, hair pulling, fighting. Melina came down there and literally threw her shoes in the audience. And for her to just get ragdolled and then walk out, I kind of felt like, well, okay. Now, we knew that based on the leaks and the promos that we were seeing on Instagram and on Twitter, we knew that they were going to be in the ring together. But again, really didn't even address this this ceremony, the interruption, at all during the play-by-play. So I really felt like that was a missed opportunity. And I really felt like that was kind of a bummer. I felt like that's something that should have been noted. Oh, hey, we just got a new follower. Pollo Del Mar is now following us. Thank you for checking us out, Pollo Del Mar. Oh, I didn't show up on the screen. Showed up on my screen. There it is. Anyways, sorry. Getting back to the show. So I felt like this was kind of just, I didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to me. As your lead-in, I felt like there were better options. Which now brings me to one of the bright moments, in my opinion, of the show, which is we got the best Trevor Murdoch promo we've gotten since he's been challenging for this World's Heavyweight Championship. No longer the crybaby, right? No longer the beaten man. He was pissed. He was angry. And that's what I want from somebody from Wachacachi, Texas, is somebody who's ready to go, somebody who's ready to fight. He said in the promo that, you know, when Nick goes to get the tailor to get a suit fitted, he knows that Trevor beat him. When he goes to the back and talks to the boys, he knows that Trevor beat him. When he even goes home to his wife, and you all know who that is, Trevor beat him. I thought this was the best promo we got from Trevor Murdoch to date. DK, what were your thoughts on this one?
Well, I'll agree that it was the best promo we've gotten from Trevor Murdoch in a while, certainly since the return of Power Bomb. And, you know, it was good to see him fired up. I appreciated that he was fired up. Problem is, I still don't have the belief that he's going to win the title. And if he does, it's only going to be for a short term. I mean, the problem with hotshot title reigns is they don't excite me. So that's, you know, that's kind of where it is. I enjoyed the promo for what the promo was, but it didn't do anything to amp me up for a rematch between them. And even if Trevor wins a rematch between them, it doesn't have me believing that Trevor Murdoch is not going to lose it as soon as they can arrange it. Even if it's 2 months later at pay-per-view, you know, maybe he'll go through another set of TV tapings. But just, I mean, I just, I'm lacking enthusiasm for, ooh, we get a chance at a Trevor Murdoch world title run.
I mean, it would have been, I think the NWA kind of missed an opportunity to pull the trigger at When Our Shadows Fall to put the belt on Murdoch, because then having him have that title for, you know, the 12 weeks of leading up to the show in St. Louis. But then again, you know, did you want to, if he wins in St. Louis, then he wins in his backyard. If he loses in St. Louis, he loses in his backyard. And, you know, again, the NWA seems to paint itself into a corner with its booking. And it's been doing that since day one. So it's kind of hard to say what exactly are we to expect. But
I like the promo. To me, it was one of the bright spots of the show. Does it fire me up? No, it didn't fire me up, but it did make the program more enjoyable, and I liked this direction of Trevor Murdoch as opposed to the one we saw last time, who was, I had him beat. I don't know what else to do. I had him beat. So, for me, I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, taking in its own little world, it was a good problem.
Up next, I mean, we had the coronation recap. We had the Trevor Murdoch promo, which was a great promo. Then we get Tyrus with Idol in a May segment. Now, the May segments are growing on me. I think she's growing as a broadcast journalist. But this one just seemed a little weird and a little confusing because, you know, first of all, we got Idol, who last week told us to Google some sort of phrase. I don't even know what it was. This week, he wants everyone to pump up your guts. I have no idea what that means. Pumping up your guts? Have you ever heard that expression, DK?
No. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't mean something. It's just not an expression I'm familiar with.
I looked it up, and it basically means to, you know, show your guts, you know, be tough. But it just, it didn't seem like it made a whole lot of sense in the moment. And then, of course, as they're talking, they get interrupted by Jordan Clearwater, who we haven't seen on television since the Nick Aldis match that never happened. And apparently he is a subordinate now for, it sounds like he's working for Black G's, who we've only seen briefly also last week interrupting Tyrus and Austin Idol. You know, as that goes, I mean, Tyrus loses his cool and literally grabs Clearwater by the throat and just starts choking him out. Outside of that, this seemed very pointless. And again, I don't know. What were your thoughts on this one, DK?
I don't care for Idols. So of course, you know, that had me want to go brush my teeth or something. I didn't get it. I mean, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand Clearwater coming out all slicked up and now working for, you know, the other guy, Black G's, J, W, X, Y, whoever. And one of the things that NWA needs to do a little better at is getting over who these people are and why I should care. Because quite frankly, I don't know who he is, and I don't want to just go Google it. I hate it when people tell me that. And so it's like, you got to sell me that this is somebody that's interesting and that I want to see and that there's a thing. And so far, all I know is that he wants to meet the Tyrus. Now, if this is to get rid of Austin Idol, hey, great. If it's not, and then how are he and Clearwater together? What, I mean, there's no story. It's just all of a sudden Clearwater comes out and he's still kind of being portrayed as a punk who, you know, gets grabbed by the throat. And as, I mean, I have no interest in watching those two, really. Even though they're setting up the match, you know, so I don't know what's going on. I don't know who some of these people are, and I don't know why I'm supposed to care. And that's kind of where I fell on this whole thing. Like you, I started enjoying May more, but on this show, I didn't have a problem with her, but I had a problem with all of her segments.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct on this. The segments were just, I don't know. I really feel like she's coming into her own, but they don't do her any favors when it's just unnecessary, as they have been. Anyways, Bubba Ray Dudley was on the whatever show he does with Dave LaGreca busted open radio and said that, you know, when he was growing up, he would, as a teenager, when he'd go stay with his grandparents during the summertime, you know, he'd go and sit down and watch the soap operas with his grandma. And one of the best things that they did on those soap operas was kind of just get you plugged in to who the characters were, what they were all about. And that's something that Vince McMahon and the WWE does very well. And the question that I pose to you, DKM, is that necessary? And is that something that the NWA would benefit from if they had these storylines where each week you turn on the show and you're introduced to these characters, because that's a way to keep them, I guess, in your mind. What do you think about that? Are you catching what I'm trying to say?
I think so. The way I would put it is that it's important for us to understand what's going on. Look, some places can get away with just putting on shows with various wrestlers wrestling. You know, your face is first, your heels, you cheer the good guys, you boo the bad guys. You know, and there doesn't have to be deep storylines. Other places have always been more story-driven, you know, what's going on. And look, not everybody in the company, from the top guy to the bottom guy, needs to have a story. But there needs to... I need to have a reason to be invested. And I need to understand what is happening. And that's where with the Black G's at, it's not working for me. I can't invest because I don't know who he is. I don't know why he's there other than talk to Tyrus. And I don't know why Jordan Clearwater is now dressed up to represent him. And so instead of going, ooh, this is interesting, can't wait till next week to see what happens, I'm going, what? Huh? And so I don't know if I answered your question, but...
I mean, yeah, you mostly did. And it's something that, you know, I'm curious as to what the guys think in the chat too, because when the NWA offers these new talents, these new faces, we're not getting like packaged vignettes. They don't do promos before the show. All these characters, all these faces kind of just get dropped in our lap on every Tuesday. And I think to their discredit, like Black G's, most people who are watching the NWA, there's a good chance they never watch CZW. They have no idea who Black G's is. Well, my Google wants to talk to me, so let me unplug that real quick. They have no idea who these people are. So when you bring in Black G's, yeah, the people who watch CZW might pop. You might get a small pop from a small portion of the audience, but you know, as a fan of the NWA, I'll be honest, I've never really watched Combat Zone Wrestling. I don't really know who Black G's is. I don't really know his accomplishments. And as to what Kikuchi said in the chat room, he didn't know that the NWA had a little person division. So it just is what it is. But it would be nice, I think, if the NWA found a way to do more storytelling in between. You know, this would be a perfect opportunity, again, to maybe have these people on the NWA, this is the NWA podcast, you know, the recap that they do post the show, or maybe it would even be an opportunity for them to create some new content with May on YouTube, introducing some of the new faces. But I just feel like, you know, in that 45-minute time, there's just not enough time to tell who these people are.
Yep.
So, with that being said, and guys, we're sorry, DK is having some tech issues at home, so the video is a little bit blurry. We're doing the best we can, but hopefully it's not too bad. Kikuchi, I think, enjoys the blurred face, so...
He would.
So it's 10 minutes and 23 seconds before the first bell ring for any match on the show, and I think that's important because that means for 10 minutes at 3:05, it was, you know, like almost 3:15 before you saw any wrestling. And I think that that's kind of a problem for me as a fan of wrestling. I tune in to watch actual matches. I tune in to see people wrestle. So when I don't see it right away. You know, if this was on cable TV, I would have turned the channel. But, you know, because I pay for it, I'm stuck watching stuff that I really don't want to see. What are your thoughts on that, DK?
Well, they only went, you know, 10 and a half minutes this time compared to, like, the 20 minutes they went last week.
Yeah.
But as we get into talking about the match, here's my problem. We had a three-way women's match. Okay, we already know my opinion on multi-person matches. It went 2 minutes and 22 seconds. A three-person match, their first match on the show, introducing a new person, and it goes 2 minutes, 22 seconds, with the new person taking the pin, and I can't, it was an okay match, but I can't say anybody looked really good. I didn't sit there at the end of it and go, oh, man, that was, you know, that was a really good match. You know, that was something I really enjoyed. It was more like, okay, guess they just wanted to give Melina a win tonight. Why couldn't it have been a singles match? And I get, it's like they put in all these multi-people matches because they got all this talent or something, so we need to get everybody exposed. But they have a, you know, 45-minute show, and they have, you know, less than 13 minutes bell-to-bell and barely over 13 minutes of in-ring action. So, I mean, I don't really have anything to say about the women's match other than it was short.
I'll say a little bit because I do like the way that they're building up Genocide. Even though she lost in this match, she surely was the most dominant force in the match. And he was even able to overcome the double team by the wily veteran Melina and the young upstart Mackenzie Page. I would like to see more of them wrestle. I think the match in and of itself would have definitely benefited from more time. It seemed a good way to show how cunning Melina is. It was good in showing that Genocide is a powerhouse. But again, no connection to the coronation ceremony we had last week. No continuation from, like, you know, they didn't even bring up. And I do want to add that we know that some of these matches were taped out of order, and some of these matches were taped ahead of the pay-per-view. But it just feels like, man, the continuity really would have benefited if they could have started alluding to, you know, planting seeds on what's Genocide's deal with Camille. Why did she come out there? And they could have done something more, right? They could have done something more, and they just didn't. So that was my disappointment in it. They could have done more with it.
If we were looking at this as they are chronologically playing it, we have Genocide ragdoll Melina when she comes out to confront Camille. Rosa hasn't been anywhere, her best talent. And now there's a three-way match that has Melina and Genocide in it, but nothing in the match made me go, I want to see these two go at it.
And there also wasn't, like, intensity from Melina to, like, you know, come up on Genocide. Like, it didn't seem like she was even upset. So, that was disappointing. But let's get to something that might have been a little bit better. We get the Camille interview. And I don't want to say that this is late-breaking news. This stuff has been on the internet for a while, but I don't hear very many NWA folk talking about it. During the course of this interview, of course, Camille's upset with Melina, which it feels like they might be trying to build to that match, maybe for the pay-per-view, maybe for Empower. But Camille out and says that she's looking for her next opponent. She's looking for outside of the NWA, which is kind of interesting because, again, on July 25th, she has a match booked for River City Wrestling in Austin, Texas. She also, on August 13th and August 14th, is being advertised for matches in the UK for Preston City Wrestling. Now, neither one of these say that they're actual NWA women title defenses, but I believe that if the plan all along was to put the belt on Camille, they couldn't have given that advertising out. I would bet you dollars to donuts that on all three of those cards, she'll be defending the title, or at least have the Burke with her. And, I mean, again, this promo didn't do a whole lot except for just paint the direction that she's looking elsewhere for her next opponent. What did you think of that, DK? What did you think of the promo?
I thought her promo skills are still improving, so I was happy about that. The NWA has a tendency, and I don't know if they realize that they're doing it, but they put themselves down. And we've talked about that in the past.
Especially with Camille.
Yeah, and just like, okay, well, I'm going to look outside the NWA. Now, someone could take that in the normal thing of, well, I'm so arrogant that I don't think that there's any good competition for me here in the NWA, so I'm going to look outside to find some real competition. But the problem is, the statement, if it was said that way, which it wasn't, but if it was said that way, it would lead most people to go, outside of Rosa, she's probably telling the truth. And so, you know, the key is you have to build up your opponents, you have to build up your challengers. You know, Ric Flair was excellent at that. Paul Heyman is excellent at that. And people in the NWA, not as much. And so they need to do a better job of saying, they need to sound more like their fanboys in talking about how not only are we the best, but we have the best talent. Not, I need to go somewhere else outside.
Yeah. And it's funny because they're talking about this Empower pay-per-view. And if you look at the roster for the women's division, it's seemingly growing, right? We had Lady Frost last week, albeit she didn't have a great match. Taryn Terrell, Melina, Kenzie Page, assumingly Sky Blue, although we haven't seen her. Of course, Thunder Rosa, Genocide. I mean, that women's division is growing. They shouldn't be, at least I think, they shouldn't be, like you said, putting it down. I mean, there's a lot of great people there. They should go with that. They should. I think, you know, our friend Jaden would always say on the old podcast that if you put down your opponent, oh, my battery's dead. Great. If you put down your opponent, then when you beat him, what does it mean? Really nothing, right? If the opponent is of lesser stature, what does it actually mean when you beat him? And I feel like that's what's happening with the women's division here. Oh, lovely. All right. Hang on just a second. Sorry, guys. My camera's literally just died on me.
Bang.
Go ahead and keep talking, DK. You're still live. They can still see you.
Well, okay. Well, sort of. Blurry. Let's.
This whole thing's going off the rails now.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it like. Just put up a pretty picture of you and continue to talk.
I guess that's what I'll do.
Or any picture of you. So, what was the next thing that happened? Was that the...
Now, then we get the altercation when Sal Renaro with Danny deals, and apparently this was for the TV title match for next week. Excuse me, a TV title qualifier match, I believe, for next week. And again, here's some more continuity issues. Sour Naro with Danny Deals and PJ Hawk are talking about their number one contenders match with Kyle Davis. But then it's unfortunate because Colby Carino comes out and he's pissed that he's not included in this match. I don't know why he's so upset. Even Sal Renaro brings it up. Hey, we didn't book the match. That's just how it's booked. If you have a problem, go to the office. So, again, not really sure why that even became an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be honest. I didn't care a lot once I saw Sal. So, sorry, Sal. Salvatore, whoever you are. And, I just didn't care. Honestly, I didn't. Because the main thing I saw when Carino comes out, and at least he looks like he's, you know, hit a gym, put on some weight, is that it's like, okay, so they'll just turn this into a three-way like most of the other three-ways have been. Because they love to do three-way matches. I don't take Sour Naro as a serious challenger. I don't take PJ Hawk as a serious challenger. And quite honestly, I don't take Colby Carino as a serious challenger. So, I mean, I think Hawk and Pope could have a good match because he's very technically sound at his young age. But, I don't know. There's nothing that... Wow. Did you change? And I froze. So, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Again, it just feels like... Number one, that when you don't have the continuity, I mean, things get confusing. It felt like this just didn't make sense. That you bring out Colby Carino to intervene, to talk, to interact. But with all that being said, this was setting up a match that isn't even happening. Not on this week's program. And it didn't even really indicate that this match would be happening on next week's program. So I don't know. This is the kind of stuff that they need to be fixing. This is the kind of stuff that they would benefit from having a better editor. Someone that's going through and cleaning this stuff up. So, we get all this talk for a match that's not even happening. What we get is a match between Aaron Stevens and PJ Hawk. Now, I like PJ Hawk. I think he's a very talented kid. I think he's got a bright, bright future in front of him. I know that our friend Kevin Frazier is very high on him. But ultimately, he's still very new to the show. And as a singles competitor... he's not very, he isn't well established. They kind of painted this match as like, you know, this might get them an opportunity for the tag team titles. And so they wrestle a very fundamental match. Aaron Stevens is definitely putting on his working boots. And he and PJ Hawk have a nice little match until we get La Rebellion out to the ring. And Bestia 666 and Mecha Wolf intervene in the match, first attacking Stevens and then PJ Hawks, only to be saved by Luke Hawks. And then, while this is going on, then you have a lack of Kratos and Stevens on the floor, injured. Again, the match itself was good until the conclusion, but you have to kind of rate the match in its entirety. DK, what did you think of this match?
I didn't care. No. A bit. I'm more and more with our on special assignment partner, Mr. Frazier, in that we need to do something with Stevens and get him some personality again. Hawk looked good, but little parts he was expecting you know, that they gave them looked good. The match went 3 minutes and 13 seconds. Did they bill it as an exhibition? I don't.
They did not. Fortunately, they did not call it an exhibition.
Okay, so it had that feel to it. And then they, you know, confused more storylines by bringing out, you know, La Rebellion. And, I mean, I understand that they would want a world title match, but we're kind of getting lost again in this. Are they heels? Are they faces? Are they, you know, am I supposed to cheer them? Am I supposed to boo them? You know, a lot of people will go, oh, that's not relevant today. We don't need it. Yeah, we do, because that's what gets us invested. Do you know why people paid to go see the Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express? Because they were invested in it. They loved one team and they hated the other. And, you know, we don't have any of that. So, I mean, the only thing I'm thinking as I'm watching it doing this is I thought they were feuding with Perro and Otison. It just didn't do anything for me. It's like I understood, but it didn't work. And again, very short match, 3 minutes, 13 seconds. And then they had 37 seconds of a beat. And yes, by the way, people, I actually timed it. And, you know, they had a 37-second beat down of three different people. So, I mean, I guess that made La Rebellion look good. I don't know.
You know, I didn't feel like anyone really looked good after the beatdown. And again, this is something that the NWA needs to improve on, is these finishes where... Couldn't they have attacked after the match? Why did it have to interrupt the end result? Couldn't Aaron Stevens benefited from a victory over PJ Hawk? PJ Hawk certainly would have benefited from a victory over Aaron Stevens. But the fact of the matter is, it just... I think James H. Jackson just said it. They use that term way too much, exhibition. To me, they just don't care about this match. It means nothing. That's how I felt like this match just didn't mean anything. So we don't care if we send out La Rebellion. You know, I remember years ago when Adam Pearce said, you know, when he was working with Ring of Honor, they would send out Dark City Fight Club when either the match wasn't hitting the way it was supposed to, or when the talent was going too long. They would send out Dark City Fight Club as an enforcer to either put an end to the match or to pop the crowd. This didn't do either. It didn't do anything. It just, again, further makes things harder to process, because it just, there's no like actual understanding of what's going on.
Well, it seemed like an odd match when they started it. And that I understood that it was, you know, two members of two different tag teams. So it was like, okay. But I wasn't sure why it was put together. And again, Stevens lacked any personality. He's still good in the ring, but it's not the same. And then, you know, Hawk is new and green, and, you know, even in the short match, there are a couple of botches, and I don't know. I mean, I wasn't excited. It did nothing to excite me. And what this reminds me of, just let me throw this in real quick, and why I asked if it was an exhibition match. This was exactly like when they did the women's tag team exhibition match, and then out of nowhere, Camille comes and spears Thunder Rosa. So they've basically done the same thing in the same spot. And I don't get it.
It makes little to no sense, if you ask me. I still don't understand why. But that brings us to the next point. That brings us to the next match. And that is, as I go here through my notes, we get May's segment with the faux spoiler, because we don't really know what to call him just yet. Oh, real quick, I wanted to read the comment from Dave Scooby. He says, I don't understand why they are having tag team wrestlers in singles matches. It defeats the purpose of having tag teams. And again, that's always the case with this show. You know, they introduced Paro on a pay-per-view and then brought his tag team partner in later, only to have Paro the following week or two wrestle in a singles match and then put them back together again. It just doesn't make sense. The whole that's where we talk about this NWA booking is there's so much nonsensical stuff. It just doesn't make sense. Now I know there are NWA fans out there who are gonna just say, yeah, this was a great show. I was there, it was great. It's not great. This show had a lot of things that were good about it. But this, the way they're booking it. Well, and I don't want this to be this. I don't want to beat a dead horse about it, but it just doesn't make sense. And if you can make it make sense, enlighten me, please.
Well, people who are there live, especially when they're taping the way they're taping or they're doing stuff, you get caught up in the moment. I mean, look, I've been to bad shows where the crowd still cheered and booed and everything like that because you're there and it's just kind of exciting, and it makes it more exciting that, you know, when you're active and part of it. So I understand that, but I'm watching this. I'm paying for this because I re-upped my subscription after last week, because kind of like Kevin said, I'm doing this just so we can do the reviews. And I want more than what they're giving me. They're giving me an infomercial. Infomercials, what they pay money for time to try and, you know, sell me something, and not I pay money so that they can try to sell me something. And Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs wants to know if one of your daughters turned heel on you, that's why you got that bruise on your eye.
That's just my face.
You didn't get smashed in the chair?
No.
Okay.
I think that's called an aging spot. DK, you know more about those than I do.
Yes, and I got plenty of them. So anyway, did anything else happen on the show? Because I might have fallen asleep at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more things. And again, I don't want us to turn into, hey, these guys hate the NWA, listen to them bash. Because, I mean, there are things about this episode, this particular episode, that I did enjoy. But I am going to point out the stuff that I thought was nonsensical, and you just have to. The next segment on the show, we get May again with the faux spoiler, and I call him faux spoiler because thus far he has not been given a name. Billy Corgan has yet to christen him, so we'll just call him the faux spoiler until we get a name. And May is asking when he's going to get his first match, and he's very calm, cool, James Bond-esque, or wooden and laconic, whatever you want to say. I will wrestle when Billy Corgan tells me to wrestle. This brings out Slice Boogie and Marche Rocky, who I guess are a pair now since the pay-per-view. I guess now they're the new tag team. Mims has been replaced. And Slice Boogie is, you know, I think the kids call it talking mess, talking trash to Mr. Faux Spoiler, but they don't even make eye contact. The Faux Spoiler never breaks contact with the camera, and Slice Boogie looks like he's looking at somebody across the room. I mean, it was a kind of a funny segment. Hearing Slice Boogie talk trash, I thought was at least compelling, but it just didn't feel like that even fit with this show. It didn't even feel like that was fitting in with the narrative that they're trying to push. And if this is William Patrick's golden child, why is he letting Slice Boogie come out there and talk trash about him? Again, just doesn't make sense.
I don't know what the purpose of this was. To again quote our missing Kevin, Twilight Zone-ish. I don't get those spoiler. I know who he is. I've learned who he is since and the name I was given meant nothing to me. And so I did a little bit of research. So, I mean, I know a little bit about him, but, you know, what? Mr. Monotone, he don't excite me at all. I have nothing about him excites me. Nothing about him makes me want to see him wrestle. Nothing about him makes me want to see him get unmasked. And, you know, at least bring Billy Corgan out with him. That, you know, it would be more entertaining if Billy Corgan was sitting here going, hey, here's my enforcer, here's my guy, here's my whatever. So, as it is, as for Slice, the Rocket Boy, or whatever, it was kind of funny in that isolated, you know, box thing, but as far as just, again, on the show, getting me interested in the show, making me want to watch the show, didn't do anything for me.
So not doing anything for you comes up. Welcome to the show, Brian Rosa. Thanks for checking us out. Brings up the national title match, the qualifying match. And I don't... See, again, we talked about a lack of explanation for things. So we know that Chris Adonis abdicated the title. We know that Chris Adonis left the national championship so that he could pursue an opportunity for the world's heavyweight championship. We know that he's rejecting these claims because it's just bureaucracy and Billy Corgan shenanigans. None of this is making any sense to me, by the way. And then we get fast forward to this national qualifying match that, again, they really barely even talked about. I mean, it seemed like it slipped out of Tim Storm last week, and here we have our first qualifying match. But it are we getting a full-fledged tournament, or are these triple threat matches determining number one contenders? I mean, we don't really know, and they haven't explained it. They've done a shit job kind of putting over the national title. It just doesn't make sense. And like Terry McDermott just said, another three-way? And I know, DK, you're not a fan of the three-way matches, but is this going to happen again next week, too? We're going to have at least one more three-way match, and it sounds like we're going to have two three-way matches, both matches being qualifying matches for titles. And this is just, again, why can't we have some more coherent booking? Why can't someone put some thought into this? I mean, you have 12 weeks of programming before you go to your next pay-per-view. Why couldn't they have built this up over the next 12 weeks and made it seem meaningful? I mean, let's not forget that this match tonight or on Tuesday night with JTG and El Rudo is going to be Fred Rosser's probably his last match. I mean, it ain't going to the spoilers, but unless there's another thing they're going to do with Rosser in the next couple weeks, he's now exclusive to New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, again, all of this is just, disappointing. But the match itself I thought was pretty good. But like I said, the storytelling, there is no background for it. They didn't explain things properly. JTG looks really, really good. Fred Rosser looks really, really good. Sam Adonis, or excuse me, El Rudo is a great wrestler. He's very good in the ring. He's world traveled. I mean, he's wrestled for All Japan Pro Wrestling. He's wrestled for CMLL. He's spent time in the United Kingdom. He was formerly a WWE developmental talent. Guy's good. I don't feel like they're using him to his best application either. So the match itself was fine. They determined that JTG wins. He wins by pinning El Rudo. So it looks like our boy Fred Rosser will ride off into the sunset, at least looking strong. But the match, again, now we know who is the number one contender, I guess, or the other man for the match. I don't know. DK, what did you think?
Yeah, just to clear up a little thing, they're kind of repeating what they did was it the 70th where they crowned the new champion or whatever with Willie Mack? It's kind of the same concept. We're having 2 3-way matches because Lord knows that we couldn't add 2 more guys and do a normal tournament to take place over 12 weeks of taping, because that would make sense. So, the two guys that won the 3-way will face off for the title. Sorry, but outside of what's his face, JTG, is were either the other two guys anybody honestly took seriously to, you know, be in the championship match?
I mean, we can make an argument for Fred Ross, or at least I can.
I can make an argument for it, but even setting aside knowing what we know about Rosser, just, you know, JTG was, he just came in, he just got a victory over Rosser. They're kind of playing up that they do, you know and respect each other. I knew who was going to win. It was an okay 3-way match. I mean, I don't have any complaints about the match itself as far as, you know, how it went down. That being said, I don't have any heavy praise for it. It was okay. At least it went longer than 5 minutes. It went just over 7. So here, your main event of a 45-minute show is your longest match at 7 minutes, 10 seconds. And, you know, the thing that excited me the most about the show is what's about to come up, and that's talking to JTG at the end.
It's funny, Jimmy LB says, I'm very happy to see JTG. He's already in my top 3 in the NWA. Boy, that's saying something, isn't it? I mean, he's had 2 matches, and he's already kind of garnering the affection of the fan base, which is great. But what does that mean for everyone else on the roster who's been putting in time and can't get that kind of a connection with the audience? We get a really solid promo from JTG after the match, where he and Kyle Davis meet up at the podium to celebrate his victory. He cuts a great promo about 1948. Thousands of people flocked to California for gold, and that's the exact same reason why he came to the NWA, and proceeds to say that his eyes are set on the national championship. DK, what did you think of this promo?
It was the best thing on the show. It was the only thing that excited me. And so, you know, and I said it beforehand that before I knew the title was coming back, that if they were foolish enough to bring back the title, because really they should have dropped it for Metcalf. That title should be dropped until they actually are touring and doing things. But, you know, I said if they were foolish enough to bring it back, that, you know, I'd like to see them put it on J the G, and you know, at least there's an opportunity for that to happen. I don't have any confidence that that's the way they'll book it, but you know, at least they got one of the right guys in the main event.
Yeah, and again, kind of the conclusion of this show, what we know is, at some point, there's going to be a triple threat match for a qualifying spot to wrestle against the Pope, whether it be Colby Carino, PJ Hawk, or Sal Renaro. And I agree with you, DK. Not one of those things has me excited. I don't need any one of those guys to wrestle a match with the Pope. What we know is that there's going to be a triple threat match with Paro. We didn't talk about that promo, but Paro and Strictly Business, Paro actually delivered another pretty solid promo, which is interesting because he's been kind of up and down as far as I'm concerned. with his promos too, but he had a pretty good impassioned promo against Strictly Business where, you know, Latimer straight out said, hey, I don't mind taking the L as long as Strictly Business gets the W. So we know that there's going to be at least two more triple threat matches in the future. But all in all, you know, this show, it's kind of funny because when I watched this show, I felt really good about some of the stuff I saw. I was very happy with Trevor Murdoch's promo. I was very happy with Paro's promo. I was happy with the match we got with PJ Hawk and Aaron Stevens until they were blindsided, attacked by La Rebellion. I was very happy to see this triple threat match with JTG, El Rudo, and Fred Rosser. But at the end of the day, when you start pointing out some of the booking inconsistencies, some of the lack of storytelling, and all in all, just things that weren't really good. You know, DKM and I were talking about the show earlier in the week, and he gave it a D, and I said, no, it's at least a B. But now I'm starting to, once you throw everything out on the air, it's like, no, I mean, maybe this was closer to a D, maybe a C+. And I'm not, or C-, I mean, it's not that I don't want to like the show. Someone once accused me of hate watching this show. And that's not the case. It's just I feel like there's opportunities that the NWA just flat out refuses to go after. I feel like there could have been a lot more storytelling, a lot more explaining. And all in all, they just failed to do all of that. DK, I mean, what did you think?
I mean, well, 2 weeks ago, I gave the show a half. It was that bad. But this week, it's just, I mean, it was more boring than anything to me, I guess. You had two interviews that started and ended the show that were entertaining. You only had one match that you could say was, you know, with a good match. And the other two were just filler nonsense. And I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't. I want to point out something that was said here in the chat. Matthew Underwood says, DKM, they could do a segment where the national champ is touring the indies, perhaps on Power Surge or suggested on a pre-show. And my response back was, they don't talk about their champions when they wrestle elsewhere. When Nick Aldis has other title defenses elsewhere, they don't bring it up.
I remember the night that Nick Aldis wrestled Jason Strife, and the match was airing on Twitch on the I can't remember the promotion's name right now, but it was available for free on Twitch. All you had to do was jump on Twitch and you could start watching the show. And I was reading
the show too.
What's that?
It was a pretty good show too.
Yeah, it was a fun match, good show. One of the comments on that was, wait, they're in Nebraska? I live like 10 minutes from that show. I would have went if someone would have advertised it. So, like, the NWA didn't advertise the show. The local promotion didn't do a good enough job getting the word out there. There were people who were sitting at home who would have watched that show had they known about it. And it just goes to show, you know, like, I mean, what's the benefit of booking the world champion if the NWA isn't going to advertise it? If the, you know, the world champion really didn't even advertise it. It's these things that just make me feel like, what are they doing? And Matthew Underwood also brings up, it's time to ditch the retro commercials. Again, I don't mind the commercials, but why are we only getting about 13 minutes of wrestling on a 45-minute program? That's something that DKM brought to my attention yesterday. And it's like, you're right. Like, why do we're paying for a product. Why are you shoving commercials down our throat? We get three of them every episode, sometimes four. And we're not even getting over 15 minutes of wrestling? Like, that's a disconnect.
Big one.
And when you talk about their pre-show that they did before the pay-per-view, which should have been the biggest commercial of all of them, they did the best job telling stories and having good wrestling on that pre-show. So again, it's
and the part that really frustrates me out of this is that they do power surge from time to time. And power surge normally runs around 30 minutes or just over. They do the interviews. They do a few recaps and they have one match. So why do we need, in a 45 minute show, why do we need 30 plus minutes of non-ring action? Look, this isn't the pay-per-view. I'm not expecting necessarily match after match after match. It is an opportunity for them to sell with the promos and stuff like that. But it should be a good 50-50 mix. I mean, there's no excuse to only have three matches. And there's no excuse for any match that's not an obvious enhancement squash match to go less than 5 minutes. You know, I don't remember if it was Kevin or you, Jay, but, you know, somebody was saying, I can't compare the, you know, what the NWA is producing with necessarily other wrestling organizations and what they're producing because, you know, they're obviously going for something different. I go, all I know is they advertise themselves as pro wrestling. They all advertise themselves as pro wrestling. And so I grade them all on the same scale. I hold them accountable for all the same things. You know, and the number one thing you got to do is entertain me with wrestling matches. Wrestling fans like wrestling. So why aren't we seeing it? Don't make me pay to do an infomercial so I can see an infomercial, because I'll go right back and drop it again, and you know, and we'll spend the Thursday nights with Kevin and Jay trying to sell me on buying it again. Because I mean, at this point, I can go get me two chocolate shakes and I'll be happier longer.
Something that Kikuchi said earlier, let me see if I can find it here because I don't want to get the quote wrong. But first of all, Kikuchi's friends over at Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling Gladiators are putting a show on the 26th, I believe, in Glassboro, New Jersey, at the Max Fit Sports Center. And again, that's Saturday night, June 26th. They're going to have a unification bout for their dog champion. The interim champion will be facing the reigning champion. You're going to see some good action if you go to that school, go to that event. And of course, you can check out Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling Gladiators online, dogprowrestling.com. They have a YouTube channel. They're on all social medias. They actually put out a lot of fun stuff on their YouTube channel. They have some good matches. You guys want to see some good wrestling, you can check that out. But I can't see the quote that I wanted to use, but essentially, you know, if we're paying for a pay-per-view, we should get something that we want. I think that Dangerous Adrenaline Wrestling Gladiators puts on wrestling that they know that their fans are going to want. I think the NWA is putting on wrestling for maybe an audience of one. And if you happen to like it, great. And if you don't, oh well. And that's not how it should be. They should be trying to appeal to even the lowest common denominator. The wrestling that they're putting on should appeal to both DKM and to myself. It should appeal to you guys in the chat. It should appeal to anyone who wants to watch it. And so far, I feel like they've had a difficult time doing that. So, you know, I guess there's not a whole lot more to say. Do better, NWA. Do better. If you're going to cut a promo, if you're going to give us a 5-minute promo and make us care about a match, then deliver the match. Don't give me something else. You know, there's just so many things to complain about. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't. I enjoy looking for the positives. And again, I was very happy with the Trevor Murdoch promo. I can't wait to see what they're going to do next with him. I was very excited to see JTG in that match. He's advancing to the national championship. Very excited to see what they do with that. outside of that, you know, we've got two triple threat matches coming either next week or soon. I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything real positive to say.
Well, and I want to point some things out. Because, you know, like somebody was bringing up ROH and New Japan wrestling and everything. And, you know, in ROH, especially during the, you know, the height of the COVID lockdowns, you know, a lot of, the majority of their show could feature interviews and stuff like that. But it was storytelling interviews. I mean, you know, they're sit downs and, you know, they're doing the Fuhrer tournament. So here are the guys who are going to be in the tournament. And here's why, you know, the guys are getting ready to be in the match. And as time went on, you know, their show probably, I didn't time the last one, but they're somewhere between 50 and 60% wrestling and, you know, non-wrestling. But they tell the good story in between the wrestling matches, and the wrestling matches go longer than 2 minutes or 5 minutes. And so, you know, this is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be a show of 45 minutes of solid wrestling, although I would not turn it down in the least. But, you know, make me care about who these people are. Make me care as to why they're there. Don't assume this is something AEW does. They assume that just because they're on the show that people know who they are. That, you know, especially some of these young indie people. I don't know who Black G is. I don't know who Danny Deals is, really. They've never once explained who he is. And he goes back to from before COVID. You know, I don't know why he's there. I don't know what his purpose is or his goal. There are some wrestlers that are the same way. I will say one good thing about this episode. There was no Nick Aldis interview. But there's also no Thunder Rosa. So, I mean, it's almost like they were going through the lineups and just said, yeah, I guess we'll have a throwaway show. This one will be it.
Man, I hope you're right, though. I hope this is a throwaway show. And I hope next week we get something a little bit better. But, yeah, man, I feel kind of defeated right now because you could ask DKM. I was very positive about the show. But, you know, as you start saying things out loud and you start looking at it honestly, realistically, it wasn't that good.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. We genuinely appreciate your support. Would you consider subscribing so you won't miss any future episodes? We'd also like to remind you that we do a live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on YouTube at the Alliance Blog. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Twitch at the Alliance Blog. Remember, absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, add what is essentially your own. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.